Now, I have invited three guests to come and join me this morning. We're going to find out a little bit about what happened on that first Christmas. Now, you can follow the interviews that I'm going to do with these people in Luke chapter 2, which is on page 1027, if you'd like to follow it, starting at verse 8. But my first guest this morning is one of the shepherds. So if I can ask him to come and join me, that would be fantastic. Good morning. Wow. Didn't have time to do your hair this morning then before coming.
It's L'Oreal.
It's beautiful. And for any of the children who might be thinking this looks a little bit like Isaiah, it's not Isaiah this morning. This is a shepherd. Can you tell us where you were and what happened?
Well, we live out in the field near Bethlehem. And we're watching over our flocks at night. Occasionally we wash our socks, but we were just watching the flocks. Now, an angel of the Lord appeared to us. And the glory of the Lord shone around. We were terrified.
I bet you were. And so what on earth did the angel say to you?
Well, the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I mean, easy for him to say. But he said, "I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of Bethlehem," well, David, he said, "a Saviour has been born to you, and he's Christ the Lord." And he said, "This will be the sign that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
And then did anything else happen?
Well, suddenly, a great company, there were hundreds of them, thousands of them, it's quite a Christmas film, and they were all praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." So we said, "Forget the sheep, forget the socks, let's get to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." We were so excited.
That just sounds amazing.
Well, it is really. I mean, seriously, life isn't that exciting for a shepherd. I mean, we just wash our hair and that's it. But we came back glorifying and praising God for all the things that we'd seen and heard. And they were just as the angel had said.
Wow, thank you very much. Would you just like to stay with us? I'm going to invite a couple of other people up. So my next guest is a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and he was very righteous and devout. Now, I'm hoping Simeon's going to come and join me up here. Oh, good morning, Simeon. Simeon, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'd been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon me. It had been revealed to me that I would not die before I'd seen the Lord's Christ.
Wow. So what happened when you did see Jesus?
Oh, well, moved by the Spirit, I went into the temple courts where the parents brought in Jesus, and I took him in my arms, and I praised God. I said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Wow, that's really moving.
I know. I'm very deep, you know.
I can see that, Simeon. Thank you so much. If you'd, again, just like to stay with us. And my final guest this morning is a lady called Anna. Now, Anna was a prophet, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. So, Anna, oh, hi, Anna. Lovely to see you. Wow, I love the hair. Where'd you get it done?
Oh, just Helen down the road.
It suits you. So, Anna, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm very old, and I lived with my husband for 7 years after we married. But since then, I've been a widow, and I'm now 84.
And you were at the temple when all this kind of happened?
Yes, I never leave the temple, but I worship there and fast and pray night and day.
And what happened when you met Jesus?
Well, I was full of thanks to God, and I spoke to everybody I knew who was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Anna. So there you have. We have three different people. We have a shepherd, we have Simeon and Anna who are in the temple. Paul, what does Luke want us to know about these three people?
Brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. Now, come and stay. Stay. Don't run away. I know you want to run away, and don't take your wigs off. Have you noticed, now, Anna, come and stand over here. Have you noticed? It's like we've got Dumbledore and Harry Potter. Have you seen? Now, I need Simeon, you just come and stand over here, just this side from now. What does Luke want us to know? Come and stand with Anna over here. What does he want us to know? Now, have you ever wondered, this is Luke chapter 2, and you might know it well, you might have read it every year. And Matthew, we've got some slides for us for this little bit. And you might have thought, well, what is Luke's big picture? What is he trying to say to us? Have you ever wondered why we go from the shepherds out in the fields straight to Anna and Simeon in Jerusalem? Well, what he wants us to know is that God, his big picture is that he wants to know you. He wants to know us. And he wants to know us, whoever you are. Doesn't matter who you are. You see, these guys that he wants to write about, actually, they're very, very different. So we've got, over here, we've got the shepherds. And they're country folk, ordinary, plain spoken. I think we're slightly overqualified country folk here. They're just living in the fields. Whereas over here, we've got city people. We've got Anna and Simeon. There they were in Jerusalem, very, sort of well-to-do with their latte and what have you. But Luke knows that there's ordinary folk, simple folk out in the fields, and you've got very important folk. Do you know that he said that Simeon and Anna had been amongst the temple courts? They worshipped and they prayed and they did important things like that. We have both men. Now, obviously, we're going to divide our categories there, so man. And also women, who all came to visit Jesus, all came and saw Jesus, and God wanted anyone, whoever you are, to know about him. And there were those who had no church background at all, like our shepherds, not necessarily, that well-versed in church things, but Anna and Simeon, who knew all the ins and outs of the temple at Jerusalem, all different people, all different kinds of people, and God wants to know you. He wants to know us. And Luke is really kind of keen that we see that in his chapter. He's meant to say to us, you see, God came not just for certain sorts of people, but for anyone, whoever you are, whatever background. Now, it may be, now I think we should thank our actors and actresses. Can we just, you can sit down now, thank you. You may feel you're one of the most ordinary people here. Perhaps you have a very ordinary job, you might feel. You may be one of the biggest celebrities here. I don't know if we've got any celebrities here, but if we have, please do come talk to me afterwards. It would be very exciting to get your autograph. If you are a celebrity, you may be somebody who's got lots of church background and has been coming to church for years, and that's fabulous. You may be somebody who has walked in today for the first time and has never really been to church before, and that is fabulous too. God wants to know you. He wants to know you, whoever you are, whether you are from, is anyone here who is from overseas, not from the UK? Would you put your hand up if you're not from the UK? Gosh, there's quite a few hands going up. I don't know what we say, about a quarter of us maybe. Put your hands up if you are from the UK. Yeah, we've got a fair majority there. Some of you don't know where you're from. That's okay. I know. They're from Scotland. Steve, that's an outrageous thing to say. That's not very fair. But you see, wherever you are from, whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever, God wants to know you. And that is his big picture of Christmas, that he wants a relationship with you. Now, we're going to think about that in just a little bit more about why that might be harder than we think, even on this lovely Christmas morning. But we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing, and we're going to stand and sing a great song, which reminds us of that story of God wanting to reach us and connect with us. We're going to stand and sing the first Noel. Now, we were just thinking about God's big picture of Christmas, that he wants to know you. He wants to know you, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your background. But we can find it hard to see God's big picture. We can find it hard to see that that's what he wants, that he wants to know us. And it can be hard for lots of different reasons. Now, it may be this morning or today that you are in the grip of a frozen frenzy. Now, we have at least one. I don't know if we've got possibly even two. There's another one at the back. Another frozen, another Elsa over there. Is there another one? I think there may be another one as well. Now, you may be in the grip of a frozen frenzy. That may be what you're going to do this afternoon is watch Frozen. It may be not. It's all right. God loves you and wants to know you, whether you are or not. That's all right. And I'm going to sort of slightly shamelessly ride on the back of this frozen frenzy. It is the film that is very much around at the moment. But there is a good reason for mentioning it today. And that is that I have not come across a better example this year of a picture, if you like, of somebody who is trapped, who is frozen in their circumstances and cannot see the bigger picture, cannot see what is going on. And the film is, if you haven't seen it, it's quite a powerful example of somebody who cannot see beyond their own world and cannot see the help that is being offered to them. And we're going to watch a little clip, because if nothing else you remember today, you're going to remember that you came to church and the vicar showed you a clip from Frozen. You probably won't remember anything else today other than that, but there we go. We're going to enjoy this for a moment.
Olaf? You built me. Remember that?
And you're alive?
I think so.
He's just like the one we built as kids. Yeah. So we were so close. We can be like that again. No, we can't. Goodbye, Anna.
Elsa, wait.
No, I'm just trying to protect you.
You don't have to protect me. I'm not afraid. Please don't shut me out again. Please don't slam the door. You don't have to keep your distance anymore. 'Cause for the first time in forever, I finally understand. For the first time in forever, we can fix this hand in hand. We can head down this mountain together. You don't have to live in fear. 'Cause for the first time in forever, I will be right here.
Anna, please go back home. Your life awaits. Go enjoy the sun and open up the gates.
Yeah, but I know
you mean well, but leave me be. Yes, I'm alone, but I'm alone and free. Just stay away and you'll be safe from me.
Actually, we're not.
What do you mean you're not?
I get the feeling you don't know.
What do I not know?
Arendelle's in deep, 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 deep snow.
What?
You kind of set off an eternal winter everywhere.
Everywhere?
Well, it's okay, you can just unfreeze it.
No, I can't. I don't know how.
Sure you can. I know you can. 'Cause for the first time in forever,
I'm such a fool. I can't
be free.
No escape from the storm inside of me.
Together.
I can't control the curse.
We'll reverse the storm.
Now you're going to wonder what happens next. Now, if you haven't seen it, you can go and watch it. It is quite a powerful story. And it's quite a powerful story. The main character, as you saw there, is called Elsa, and she is trapped. She is frozen, as the title of the movie suggests, and she is frozen in her world, and she cannot see her way out of it. And as they sang together, you saw that. But in fact, the words that she says, they're quite powerful in their own way. She says, if you could hear her when she was singing, "I'm such a fool, I can't be free. There is no escape from the storm inside. And with a strange power to it, I can't control the curse," which, if any of you know your Bibles at all, will know has a biblical resonance to it. She is trapped, and she is an example, if you like, of being unable to see that God might want to reach you, that God might want to reach me, that we can be trapped where we are. You might be here this morning, and it may be that you're here thinking, yes, it's all very well you saying God wants to reach you, he wants to know you, but of course, that's for I can see these people here who that's for, but it's not for me. If you knew what I was really like, if you knew what I was like on the inside, you'd know God wouldn't want to know me. He wouldn't want to know the kind of person that I am. Even on this lovely Christmas day when we're dressed up well and looking fine, if you knew what was going on in the inside, you'd know that God wouldn't want to know me. And we can struggle, can't we? We can find it hard at times to see that there might be a bigger picture. There might be a God who wants to know us. And because we can be trapped, because we can find ourselves looking just at our circumstances, our own worlds, because we can do that and find ourselves thinking, God wouldn't want to know me. Because we can look at our own life, our own sin, and the things we know we've done wrong and say, if people knew, God wouldn't want to know me. Because we can struggle in that way, that is why God knew he would have to come to us. Because we struggle to see God's big picture, God knew he would have to come into our small picture. If we were to make anything of him, if we were to understand who he was, he would have to come into our small picture. It's why Luke writes his gospel. Do you know, he writes it to somebody. He's writing that they might be sure and know that God came to them in the person of Jesus. It's right at the very start of his gospel, if you want to read it. And in fact, he goes through his gospel and he explains how Jesus came. And he uses the words, he came to seek and to save, to seek and to save the lost. Those verses come from Luke 19, towards the end of his gospel, where he has tried to show us that he came for anyone. He came for those who were sick, who were injured, who were ill, who were the outsiders in society, those who were poor, those who were rich, those who were religious, those who knew nothing of church. He came for anyone, but he came because he knows that we struggle to see that God would want to know us and that he must come so that we might see him. He came, if you think about that manger in a stable, he came as a vulnerable little baby so that we might see that he understands that we are vulnerable. He came as one who would suffer and would know pain. He would eventually die so that we would see that he knows that we suffer too. And if this morning you are here not feeling Christmassy, you are burdened by those things that you carry, he came as one who suffers so that we might know that. We might see that in him. And he came, most of all, he came to die. He came to die on a cross for those things that you and I have done wrong. And he came to do that so that we might see we don't have to go on killing ourselves for them. And go on punishing ourselves for them. That's why he came. And he came so that we would see that. Jesus, in that little manger, in that stable, that picture, perhaps you've written Christmas cards and you've seen it so many times this year. He came, and his coming is that we might realize he is saying, I came to you. And if you like, in one of the most powerful moments in the film, if you get a chance to watch it, if you get a chance to watch it through again, you'll have heard the character of her sister Anna say to her these words. This is almost, if you like, what Christmas God is saying to us. God is almost saying, for the first time in forever, in eternity, if you like, I will be right here. I will be a person like you. I will be a man that you can recognize. I will be somebody who you could see and touch and know that I, the living, eternal God, want to know you. And if you don't know that this morning, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to think on it? Can I encourage you to take away a copy of Luke's Gospel? We have some at the back. We've been giving them away over Christmas. We'd love you to read it and just to consider that God may want to know you. He may want to know you. And if you have any, I often want to ask this question. Do you know of any other religion, any other faith, any other philosophy, any other way of thinking about your life circumstances where someone would do this for you? God's big picture. I know we find it hard. We can find it hard to see that God would want to know us. And that is why he came at Christmas. That is why he came as one we might see and recognize because we find it so hard. He came to us. We're going to pray, we're going to finish, and we're going to move on with our service. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything we enjoy at Christmas, everything we reflect on and remember. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through the festivities of today, we might remember that you want to know us, whoever we are, and that is why you came. And however hard we find it, however far we might feel from you, you have done the work of traveling to us that we might see and recognize you. Lord, please open our eyes. And Lord, if that is something that we are struggling with, please help us to see. And please remind us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.